I got it. Okay. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night tonight. We just ask, Lord, that you endow us with the spirit of worship tonight and in you, Lord. And I thank you for filling us all up with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that the gifts be in operation tonight as well. And that people here would see visions of the angels and see visions of everything that's going on around him. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, for words of knowledge also. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your revelations to your word also, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for getting us all ready for this great happening that's fixing to happen upon us. In Jesus' name, that we would be able to do what Jesus said. He said to go out into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and that the signs and the wonders would follow us. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anyone got a prayer request? Okay. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I got a praise report. It has to do with a certain letter that I sent somewhere. Apparently, they weren't getting it for the very long time. And it took a whole month almost to get there. So I thank the
Yep.
Lord for finding that letter and bringing it to the hands of the people that need it. Praise and glory to
Amen.
God. It was a little
Amen.
bit of a test, but I knew it was possible, and for all things are possible. Amen. With our
Amen.
glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Hi, show. Is that Obi? Hi, Obi. Oh,
Hi.
y'all look sleep. Y'all look sleepyfied. Y'all been playing all day.
No, we went to Papa's and worked on the tree house more and spent time with our
Oh,
cousin. Our cousin Mallory just came.
really? Awesome. That is great. Thank you, Lord. I want to come out there. Y'all gonna have to take me out there to see it when your dad get and your grandpa gets through with it. Say yes or no. Now, what do you mean, no show? Okay. All right. All right. Has anybody else got a prayer request or would like to? Yeah, go ahead, Anna. You need to unmute yourself.
Yes, I see that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Missy, did you ever share with them about what the Lord did for us on our biking trip? I missed the whole bold outreach last time. Did you want to or should I? Okay, I just want to share this. So I think I shared last time we went biking out at Cades Cove. It's this place in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. It's this 11-mile scenic loop, historic loop. There's like these historic cabins from the 1700s in there, and it's 11 miles and there's some hills, but it's like inside of a valley and it's just so picturesque. And we went last month, and I think I shared about how the Lord made a space for us and everything. Well, we went again because Missy was here, and Missy likes to bike ride, and she's got a whole testimony of her own on that. But we prayed, we were like, thank you, Lord, we are going to get spots, parking places together, because we had two cars. No, don't interrupt. We have two cars with us, and we're like, thank you, Lord. And there's no cell service out there, so you get there, you don't want to be trying to find your partner car, wherever they got. So we get there an hour earlier this time, and the ladies, there's rangers out there, they're already turning people around, and we're like, ah. So we get up there, they're turning all the people in front of us around, saying, go drive around for an hour and come back. And we get up there, and the lady says the same thing to us. And we're just kind of sitting there for just a second, like, okay, what are we gonna do? And then up at the front, this car backs out, and it was like nine, a little after 9 in the morning. Like, I don't know who could have possibly biked, got there and biked by then and been done, but someone backed out, and Winnie was in the passenger seat. She's like, hey, she told the lady, she's like, hey, that guy just pulled out. Can we have that spot? And she goes, it was like kind of begrudgingly. She's like, yeah, you can have it. And I said, the Lord's gonna make a spot for them because they're with us, the people behind us. And she goes, no, we're gonna turn them around. And I was like, and I was just thinking, nope, nope, nope. And we just go just a few feet, and the person next to our spot backed out. And Winnie hollered back, "Don't turn him around, send him forward." So it was so great. And we were just praying as we were driving or riding bikes. We were just praying for that lady that, the Lord would really touch her heart with that, that she would see, wow, prayer works. Like there's something different here. And then as we pulled up, we were praising the Lord. And we were just, all excited in the car. And this older gentleman's walking by. We had our windows down. And he's like, "No need for applause, ladies." And so we told him, we're like, "No, we're praising the Lord." And we told him what the Lord did. And then he started talking about things the Lord had done for him. And he's like, "The Lord is faithful." And so that was so cool. So.
Amen. When Missy got to see wildlife, she said, "Lord, that's so cool." To Obi. He's making fun of your accent, Missy.
Yeah, she talks funny, doesn't she? Amen. Well, I've got to go up there. I saw too many pretty pictures of the place up there. I've never been up there. David and I was going to go up there one time and got lost, but we found our way back home. All right. Anyone
I
else?
think that was a different
Oh,
place that you got lost to, yeah.
that was Hullabaloo or something like that.
Huckleberry Knob. That's a really nice
Huckleberry
place
Knob,
too.
yeah. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. I'll get you in a minute, Ben.
I'd like to tell a little bit about the biking trip. Well, this, okay. About a week or so before I went down, before I knew that I was going to be going on the Cave's Cove bike ride, the Lord impressed upon me to ride my bike every other day to strengthen my legs up. And so I got to do that 4 times every other day before I went. And then when I heard we were going, I'm like, "Oh, the Lord knew." Well, okay, I ride 10.3 miles, usually the one route that I almost always go on. This is 11-mile route. What I ride is a cakewalk. Oh my gosh. And but by the Lord's grace, I could do it. By the grace of God, I could do it. And I was like, "Oh wow." And it felt so good. And the awesome thing is my knees, especially my neck, left knee, was last year it bothered me. I don't know, it just felt really strained and like really sore. And when I went down in March and we rode, I asked Angelica to agree with me, and my knee didn't hurt at all then. But since I had come back and I had been riding lately, it bothered me just a little bit, but nothing major. But I'm telling you, this is much, like I said, what I ride is a cakewalk, this Cade's Cove thing. And we were almost done the ride, and it dawned on me that my knee wasn't bothering me at all. And I was like, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord." So, and I went riding again today, and I saw three doe and a fawn. And when we were there, we saw a mama bear up in the tree, and the one cub was laying with its legs hanging down the side, and then she was standing, and there was another cub nursing. It's cool. We got pictures, but it's really neat. Oh yay. That's me. Anyway. So it was fun. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was only by the grace of God was I able to do that. That's all I got to say. And there was this one guy. There's this one man that says to Anna, "You should get Mother of the Year year award." And I said, "She's a workhorse. I can't believe she does that. I mean, 'cause she can't get up the major hills with the kids. So she has to push Shoshana and Lakayla up because she can only ride so far, and then she, I don't know, I'm like, oh my gosh. I can't believe she does it, but I know it's just that, even just pushing them up is, it's
She needs one of
grace of
them
God,
electric
I know.
bikes.
But anyway, thank you, Lord. It was an awesome time.
Anna, we're gonna have to get you an electric bike pulling them kids up them hill. Go ahead, Anna.
That would be nice. What Missy's talking about is I got a trailer in the back that for the two kids, but it's like an inline trailer, and so it's like this big metal frame. But it's really nice. But yeah, I start going to the hills, and the weight just goes, and you just kind of come to a stop, and then I gotta push the bike with the trailer up the hill. But I want to say, like, I know the Lord helps me because, like, I'm just not that strong. And every time we go, I always get comments, everyone, oh my goodness, you must be Superwoman, or like, Mom of the Year. I'll get all these comments, but I get so much opportunity. I always tell people, the Lord's helping me, or it's all the Lord, or I could never do this without the Lord and stuff. And I'm surprised I could get so many people going, well, amen, or, that's true, or, and then some people just laugh at you, but that's okay. It's a good opportunity to bring glory to the Lord. But I do want to say, when we got to the end, so the bike is so heavy with, stop that, guys, stop that. The bike is so heavy with the trailer on there and the loose gravel in the parking lot. So the gravel just kind of spins out from under the bike, so it's really hard to like go anywhere. So I'm like pushing the bike up the hill. The very last, Shoshana, stop that. The very last, I go through the parking lot to get up to the front parking lot where we parked. And I got to the top and it like got steep and I was pushing it and pushing it. And it just started going like an inch at a time, and the bike was trying to slide out sideways out from under me with the kids in the trailer in the back. And I was like, Lord, I have come this far, like help me. Everyone was already back at the car. They didn't even see me. Brandy usually kind of sticks around to see if I need some help or something, but he was already back at the car. And I was like, Lord, like this is crazy. I can't get to the, like, it was like 2 yards left. And I was like, Lord, help me. Like, the bike won't move. Every time I move it, it's trying to slide out under the gravel. And I was like, Lord, like, just give me a push or something. And all of a sudden, I just got over the top. And I was like, thank you, Lord, because it was like not moving. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, I've watched Anna pulling those kids, and I don't envy her a bit. Whew, that'd make them kids get out and run. All right. No, she does a good job with it. She gets help sometimes, we'll stop and help her. Go ahead, Ben. There you go. There it is. Let me see if I can make that bigger. Hold it right there. Well, let's see here. Well, never you
Just
mind.
say something.
I can't figure it out.
Well. I have a prayer request.
Okay.
Not too long ago, Karen's dad, his name's Diego, he lost vision, like he couldn't see. And so they went to the hospital, they went to a doctor, and he got diagnosed with diabetes. He has a pretty bad relationship with food. He's got a big Coca-Cola addiction. I think he drinks 4 or 5 a day at least. And so, yeah, it got pretty bad. And he was doing it pretty much every day. He's eating like a 20-year-old, and so kind of caught up with them and scared him a little bit. And so I'm gonna lift him up in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for Diego. I want to thank you for the leadership that he has in that household. He's a good head of the household, and he's kept a good household, Father. Lord, Father God, I want to thank you for doing that with him. Lord, Father God, I just want to pray healing over him. I want to pray healing over that whole house, Father, because they all have issues with food, and they all have their hankerings. Lord, Father God, this is something that's huge in Western culture, that we just have a hard time with food because we have an abundance of it.
Lord, remind us that you're the one that we need. It's not the consistency of food, but it's the consistent spiritual food that we need. Lord, this addiction to sugar, this addiction to carbs, this addiction to everything, Lord. Lord, Father God, I just rebuke it out of him now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Father God, I rebuke this diabetes out of him now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Father God, I pray that any curse that is upon him, I pray that he is set free. Lord, Father God, I pray that he believes it too, that he is no longer under the curse. He has confessed of his sin. He's confessed of his addiction to the Coca-Cola and the cookies and whatnot. Lord, Father God, he's confessed it, and you are the faithful one to purge us of any unrighteousness. Lord, Father God, we thank you so much for being faithful and for watching over us and for being our Passover lamb. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome healing that's coming and that is already here, Father. We thank you for it. Let it be a great testimony to you. And Lord, Father God, I rebuke any of the curses or medication or pharmakia that the doctors are putting upon him. And I pray the next time he goes over there that there's going to be a miraculous recovery shown at the medical industry, something that they couldn't explain themselves, and that it'd be an awesome testimony towards you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for doing this. I see it. And I thank you, Lord, for a new, happy, healthy family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ben, you know that that spirit of diabetes is a spirit, and you can command it to go off of him, and it'll go. It's, yes, okay, good. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Ben, does he still have the blindness? Is he, like, totally blind?
His vision was only impaired for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just, he was feeling weird, but, you know, he was just kind of sucking it up kind of thing, and then it just recently, he lost vision in his eye, and then they brought him to the doctor, and then his vision came back eventually.
Okay, praise the Lord. I know that we just prayed on that too, but I also pray, Lord, that you would give Diego a revelation of, you know, even just the fear of the Lord, and that his body, he needs to take care of his body. I don't know how old he is, but I'm guessing he's probably in his 40s, 50s, somewhere on there.
I think.
And
yeah.
And Father, I just pray that he would have a change of heart about and how he eats. And I know diabetes can be reversed, you know, controlled with the right, you know, exercise and diet too. And I just pray, Lord, that you would put that in his heart, just to take care of his body and not abuse it. And I know there's a lot of people that do that because there's that spirit of gluttony as well out there, and just no self-control over things. And there's a lot of bad stuff that they put in the food too. So, Lord, I thank you for working all things after the counsel of your will and for your good pleasure and giving him a heart to want to repent. And I thank you, Lord, for the faith that Ben has spoken. I'm in agreement, Lord, that spirit of diabetes is gone, and that he no longer is addicted to these kinds of things, food addictions and that kind of stuff, that, Lord, you would draw him and that he would have this incredible, insatiable hunger and thirst for truth and for righteousness and to run after the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would be to God. Yes, Lord, we believe with Julie and everybody else in here that Diego is completely free of this disease called, what was it? Yeah, whatever it was. Oh, diabetes, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. He's gone. In Jesus' name, you got to go, and I commanded you to take all your little buddies with you, too. Take all the pain and discomfort and blindness and swelling and all of that, go in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for placing an angel in front of him that will tell him and talk to him about the word of God. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. He's going to come in as a mighty man of God. for his family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that it's the truth of the gospel too, and not just some watered down version of it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Give me a bite, Obi. No, Amen.
Eat the part of the screen that the banana's on.
I can't get to it from here. Okay. Who's next? I just believe Diego, his name is Diego. Okay. I just believe he's, and I'm going to keep praying for and believing that God's already healed that man. And he's going to come out of it and just be amazed at what God's doing in his life. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, Missy. LSS.
I need you all to agree with me. I got some skeeter bites when I was down there. And I command the itching to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. And to heal up in Jesus' name. They are not mine. I'm not under the curse, and I forbid any more skeeter bites in Jesus' name on my body anywhere. Amen. The rest of this summer and forever. And forever.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No kind of bug bites in Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I'm healed. They're all dried up and they don't itch anymore. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, Amen. I am healed.
I haven't been bitten by one yet. David complained about them last night. While he was in bed, I said, I didn't have any in my room. You must be under the curse, boy. No, I didn't say that to him. Nope. No, he did say that they bothered him. I said, they bite you? He said, no, they didn't bite me. They were just buzzing your ear. You know how they buzz your ear, keep you awake. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that they've gone. That the itching is gone, Missy. You don't have it anymore. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray for everybody. Lord, I just pray and thank you that we're walking in divine health because of what you did on the cross, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for your shield against these bugs, any kind of bugs, ticks, mosquitoes, whatever. Does not have an effect upon us. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that they cannot bite us at all. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for that shield of protection. I thank you for divine health that flows through our body every day. That nothing comes upon us because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And as such, they can't come in here and bother us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone else? I've got a question. Go ahead, Anna. You go ahead. Mine'll take a while.
Okay. I wanted to along those lines of, you know, the bugs, I want to pray for Elisha. He has been in the past very sensitive to poison ivy. But the Lord, the last time he got it was a few weeks ago, he got some. I'm not even really sure how he's getting into it. There's a couple trees in their backyard, like past the fence that got them. And I don't know. He doesn't seem to have to actually touch it. And he's like so sensitive. Well, that too. But he got it. And it can be weeks you can have it. Like Matthew's had it a couple times where it's like lasted weeks and gets oozy and nasty. And but we were praying over him. We're like, thank you, Lord. Like he's healed. And once it scabs up, then it doesn't really bother you anymore. And it scabbed like it was like the second or third day. I think we didn't even pray the first day because I didn't realize what it was. I didn't know what to pray against. I just thought he scraped himself or something. And then I realized, oh, this is poison ivy. And it scabbed up like the next day after we prayed, which was very fast.
Does Daddy put acetone?
No, before that day, I did that the second time. He tried that. But he got it again And it was like all over his face, and his eyes were like swollen up and were red. And we prayed for him, and he just completely, it never broke out into the nasty stuff on his face, and it just completely went away. I was like, thank you, Lord. But he had it like pretty bad on his hands, like big oozy things. And I was like, thank you, God, it wasn't around his face, because it was like all up in his eyes. It could have been really bad. So praise God. But I just want to just, he's not under the curse, and nothing shall in any wise hurt us. So I just don't want to stand for this. And I just rebuke this allergic reaction he's having, the one Matthew has had to poison ivy. We just cast down this curse in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that nothing shall in any wise hurt us, Lord. And the curse of plants was brought on with the fall. And so I believe that you reversed that at the cross. And we just cast this down. I thank you, Father, that even as a testimony to everyone around us, Lord, that nothing shall in any wise hurt us, Lord. It must be true. Your word said, Lord, you said that we could drink poison and it wouldn't hurt us. So surely being in the same vicinity as poison ivy will not hurt my son. Touching it will not hurt him. If he plays in it, if he doesn't know, whatever, it doesn't matter. And I just thank you, Lord. Glory to your name for this freedom. This curse is broken right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, anyone else? I don't have a question. I have a statement to make. What the Lord showed me. Talking about faith. And what it is to us. I want to give you a scenario, and this will be in my Bible study tomorrow because it was that impactful to me. What if you went to the doctor and the doctor says you've got stage four cancer? You got 6 weeks to live. And you went out, of course, telling everybody what you had. And then something happened, and you were able to get a miracle drug of some sort or whatever. Or God prayed for, or somebody prayed for you, and the cancer, for the cancer, and you went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, this is a miracle. We don't see any trace of the cancer." What is your immediate response in your brain going to be when you hear that from a doctor? Anna's got the right answer. You're going to be jubilant, aren't you? And you're going to believe it too, aren't you? You're going to believe that the Lord had healed you. Or let's change it around. Let's say they gave you some kind of a new miracle drug that worked, a med bed, let's call it a med bed. But when you went back to the doctor said, "There's no cancer. You're completely free of cancer." What are your thoughts at that time? That's right. You're going to believe that it's so, aren't you? Why can't we do that every day in our faith? Is to believe what the word says over and above what the doctor says. Because when that happens, you're going to start saying and walking in that well, what do you say? That miracle. You're going to be walking in it. You're going to believe what God said because the doctor confirmed it. Okay. God wants us to do the same thing with His Word. Who knows more about your body than anybody? God. And if He says by His stripes you were healed, and you believe it, you start walking it out. Well, what's wrong with you, boy? Ain't nothing wrong with me, man. I've been healed by the power of God. and you walk in it. Most of the time, most Christians, and I'll say most of them, and I believe this is true to a lot of people, we have a mental assent of what faith is. And by that I'm saying we gotta be shown by our flesh that we're healed before we believe God. We don't confess it like we should. Somebody said, "What's wrong with you if you're limping or something like that?" Ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, I see something like that, dog. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm healed. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk it out. And don't let anybody confess the bad report upon yourself or people around you. Elisha is completely healed of that poison ivy. He does not have that problem with poison ivy now another time in his life, because he walks in the faith that Jesus gave him. And we are the same way. I did that because it made so much sense to me. You know, you go to the doctor, he tells you, "Man, you're free of that. There's no remnant of that cancer at all." Thank you, chick. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, doctor, whatever. That's the way God wants us to act when we find out what the word says about healing. He wants us, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. I don't have anything wrong with me anymore. Praise God. I can hear. My sinuses are cleaned up. Glory be to God. My teeth are coming back. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus." Does that make any sense to anybody? Did that help somebody? I'm telling you, it helped me when I read that. I said, "Glory to God, that's right. It's just like the doctor told us, we're completely free of that cancer. We're completely free of that diabetes. We're completely free of all of those things that we have prayed other people for. Right now, not sometime down the road. I'm talking about right now." Praise God. "Yes, me too, Julie. I am redeemed. Praise be to God." If you don't believe it, read Isaiah 53:5. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I hope that help somebody out there, because it sure helped me when I thought of it in that respect. I might went down, I said, "David, let me tell you something the Lord showed me." And we sat there, he said, "That's right." He said, "That's right." I was so happy to get it. You know, amen to that. But I knew he was going to, because we both had talked about it before. Well, I'm glad y'all liked that. I hope it helped you. That's all I'm going to say about that, because that's all needs to be said. The Lord wrote it. It's down in the book. And if it's in the book, it's true. I don't need a doctor's okay that I'm completely healed. And I think one of the things, and I'm talking about Michael, one of the things that I had a problem with was this mental assent, and that is this. Well, I still have these effects, you know, this. And I'm confessing the wrong confession to myself. You got to quit doing it to yourself and just walk in that, what the word says. And when you walk in what the word says, in just a short time, you're going to be healed. I believe it. I remember the story. That's when you get it down in your heart. That's when it comes down. As we've been talking about, getting the word of God down in your heart to believe that you're healed. And that's what Hagin was talking about when he said that lady that came into his meeting on faith and healing. She got the message that she went home and she started spouting those verses about herself being healed, about herself being healed. She did it for 5 hours. After 5 hours, it finally got down into her spirit, and the spirit could work then, and she was completely healed. Completely healed. Glory to God, that's awesome. And that's why the word tells us to confess it daily. Confess it. I remember Charles Capps has one called Confession, Medicine Confession, or something like that. And he said, I want you to take this 3 times a day for 10 minutes at a time. And it was verses relating to and confessions about your being healed. Confessions about your being healed. Do it 3 times a day for 10 minutes at a time. Now that's not, that's just something he came up with. What he was trying to do was get you to put the word of God in your heart. Go from here to here with the word of God as far as healing goes. We know what the word says, but do we have it in our spirit yet? When you turn the spirit loose in your body, it's going to heal. You understand that? That's good. That's good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, y'all look like you're getting a little bit bored. Go ahead, Tana. I'm not getting bored. I'm amazed that God showed me that way. And something clicked inside of my head when he showed me that. I said, yeah, that's right. Glory to God. Go ahead, Anna.
Thank you for sharing that, Michael. That is super helpful perspective. Like, what if God came down and said, well, then would you believe it? You know, you had an angel come and tell Mary, you know, she believed, but we sometimes, you know, want something great, but we've got something great. We've got the written word. So thank you for sharing that. That really helps me. I wanted to say too that I've meditated sometimes on, you know, Jesus would often say, you know, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And we all know that. But I've thought about, you know, a lot of times he also said, go thy way as you have believed, be it done unto you. And I've thought about that, like, go your way. Like, why was that always a phrase? Like, in other words, maybe they weren't even healed, but a lot of times they were healed in that hour. Maybe they didn't feel anything. And they're like, go my way, go do what? Like, they were going in faith. They're like, okay, I'm going to go back to work. Or, you know, somebody with a limp, okay, I'm going to go to work. Or I'm going to go, I was blind, I'm maybe still blind, and I'm going to, you know, go, because he said go. Or, you know, whatever, maybe it wasn't always that right that second, but they acted in faith like the lepers. And I've wondered about that, how many people were like, what do you mean go? Go where? Go what? But obviously, you know, they were healed, they went. And I'm sure a lot of the healings were instantaneous, but maybe, you know, some of them were within that hour, but he was saying go. So I've thought about that, like what kind of faith that would take.
That's what we're talking about, right? To get up and go. Get up and do what the word says. You're healed. Remember the story about Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. When he was a kid, he was sick all the time, bedridden. And he finally found out in the Bible, because he couldn't get a preacher to tell him that he could get healed by God. He finally found Mark 11, 23 and 24. He finally found that, and he said, well, good gracious, if I believe it, I'm healed. What he did, he got up out of the bed that very morning. He told his mama first, and mama, go get me something to eat. I'm fixing to go to work. She looked at him kind of strange like, you going to work? What are you talking about? He said, go fix me some breakfast, please. And so he got up out of the bed. He'd been bedridden for a long time. He got up out of the bed, barely could make it into the kitchen, ate his dinner. He got dressed. He said, mama, help me get dressed. And he got dressed and he went down to his work, got the job back, and he was getting stronger. Every step he took, he's getting stronger. And when he got down there, the boys made fun of him that he wouldn't be able to do the work. And he said, I'll be here when y'all are gone. That was his confession that day. I'll be here when y'all are gone. And sure enough, he was there when the rest of them quit because they couldn't handle the work. And that's the way God wants us to be. Glory to God. Who gets the praise when that happens? God does. If the glory goes to God. Amen. Woo. Somebody needs a spirit of God stirred up inside of us, don't we? Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody else? Lord, I just thank you for placing that faith in all of us to just imagine in our minds the things that are going on in our body. Even though we can't see it, we know that we're being healed even as we speak. Because the Spirit of God is going through our bodies right now, healing every cell in our bodies right now in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that within that it's already started happening. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that all who are believing it are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And delivered. And delivered of any pain, any discomfort at all in our bodies. In the name that's above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Whew. I wish somebody would get me stirred up. My goodness. Yes, that was a good revelation for me anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to speak, talk about? Yeah, Joe.
I just want to add something about what you talk about. I would say I'm with you being quite a few years, but a couple of years ago, I wasn't as bold as I am now, because the Lord gave me opportunity to learn, to study, to grow in His Word, to have a relationship with Him. That gives you boldness to understand, boldness in the Word. In other words, what God says is true. Doesn't matter what other people say, that's true. That's true for me. That's true for everybody. But for me, it was, you have to know the Word to have a relationship with God, because Jesus says that, what's that verse in Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of a wise instructed his mouth and added learning to his lips. In other words, Jesus knows his wisdom. You have to have understanding, and understanding you can confess. By confessing, adding learning to your lips, that boldness that you can confess, and that was for me. I'm just talking about myself. As a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have it what I have now. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Yes, you get bold, brother. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Okay, how about a good, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
So God's grace can speak to you. So we know grace because of his fullness. We all received grace upon grace. Okay. That's what it says. Oh, I think in the first chapter of John. But let's go after the cross now and resurrection to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. You might have to read the whole one and two. You know, because he's talking about you got to work together with him. And him there is, this with him is referring to the verse before that, which is, you know, they say it's the most quoted verse for righteousness, but really it's talking about reconciliation. And it's talking about Emmanuel, too, because him who knew no sin, he made, God, that's God himself, God made sin on our behalf, that we might become righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, okay? And now it, the next verse says, you got to work together with him. You know, when you get the God-breathed word, you know, as it says, you know, in that certain verse in 2 Timothy, there's the word, all scripture is God-breathed. And then you know what happens after the in the rest of 16 and 17? There's a work. There's a deed that happens. But here, he's saying he's talking to you by grace. Right here it says, and working together with him, Christ in you, the hope of, actually it's God too, because they go along together. We entreat also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So this is God's word. For he saith, God saith. Now God's saying something here. At an acceptable season, I hearken to thee. And in the day of salvation, I secure thee. You know, he's going to help you. He's going to aid you. He's going to relieve this of you. Because that's salvation. And this is a grace. Because he's saying it's grace. Because you're supposed to receive this by grace. It's a unity word. A unity word that's the grace. And you know, Paul spoke to Timothy once again. Thou therefore, my child, he was a full-grown man, he wasn't under 12 years of age, be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And he said, today, now is the acceptable season. Now is the day of salvation. And every, this speaking term, I hearken to you. He promised he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He promised he was going to, in his name, the Comforter, the Father. This is the same guy they're talking about here. That I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. And I'm sure it's not that far away from the Father's name or Jesus' name. To teach you all things and remind you of what he taught you. So how else is he going to hearken to you unless he already taught you something and reminded you? You know, so do you get what I'm saying here? You know, and this is a unity word, which is a grace word, because he's telling you about this grace. Because of his fullness, we all receive grace upon grace. So what? When he says this, it's a grace for you. It's given. It's Christ Jesus. It's the name called the Word of God is Christ Jesus, because that's what it says. In 19:13 of Revelation, he was clothed with, but and his name is called the Word of God. A Father is hallowed be thy name. The name, when we got baptized, we got baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, the name of the Father is hallowed be thy name. There's no other name like it. And it's every word here is the name called the Word of God, and that's for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's name is holy. And he wants to separate you in the verses further down. He wants to say, come out from among them. And he wants to tell you, touch no unclean thing. So it wouldn't be unclean, but the person who disagrees with what he just said here. Reading this is talking to God. Because he said he would. Right there. And it's grace. So I don't think about it too much and maybe struggle with it, but you know, and you look at it and you go, well, you know, look what happened. Look what Luke said there. Jesus said, I don't know who it was, 137, for no word of God shall be void of power. And that's God's breathed word too, you know. So there's all scripture is God breathed. And it's profitable for teaching. There's the work. So you're being taught it's not by me. Were we not taught that this is all the spirit of the word and not the letter? The New Testament is all, you know, like can we be taking in some Old Testament stuff and maybe letterizing ourselves unknowingly, when as it's not that way it works, you know, it's the spirit of the word. You know, you're supposed to be this epistle known and read of all men. And these guys read it first. They spoke it. And it's not written with ink. It's not the red ink either. So I'm just saying what this says here. I'm not trying to take credit. I'm not trying to say that it's not this way. I just, you know, I look at that very next verse, giving no occasion of stumbling in anything. Is the unity. It's the he's talking about this grace that he's given you in this whole chapter. In anything. And we're not the head of this ministration. Who's the head of the ministration? Who gave you this word of reconciliation, which we know to be righteous? Because it's coming out of the Father's mouth. When God says something, and it says, and he say it, go check out what happened in Genesis when he spoke. And he said to you that you're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. So where's the word here, and where's the work, and who's preparing it? If you're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore prepared that you should walk in. I just can't say any more than what it says here. And are we here to think that this word's not going to glorify God? Are we not children of light? Did he not even tell you about the spiritual menorah, the candle or lamp? You know, it's people think it's a corporate one. Well, yeah, that's why we all pray, because, you know, if everyone prays together, it's got to happen, you know. And so I hope this is encouraging people that God's saying something here, but this is nothing unless you're the epistle. And he's going to write it. If this is the covenant, the new covenant, he puts it on you. Here? And why do people say it doesn't go in there? Don't say it doesn't go in there, because he can write pretty fast. You know, he writes it here and here. Is that not what it says in 8 and 10 of Hebrews? I mean, he's explaining to the people who had this problem. They were Hebrews after all. And No one's going to need to teach you because the Holy Spirit's there teaching you. No one's going to straighten you out except God. You know, no apostle, even Jesus said, it's not me, it's my Father, you know? And even the apostles all gave glory to God. And he's making us his sons and daughters, but we do start out as babies and then little children and then children. And, you know, we're going from our 30 to, you know, 50, 59, 60, a new level, 60, all the way up to 90, and then 100. It's up to him, you know, and if you got 2 talents and you produce 100%, then you're equal to the guy who has a son is a son. A son is a son. You know, he wants to give you more than just interest. He wants to, and it's not us, it's him. It's not, you can't twist someone's arm to be a Christian. You know, I heard testimony of, what was this revival recently in America where this young lady, it was one of those universities, I forget where it was, and she said, and called her dad and said, Dad, I'm saved. And he said, honey, you did this in our church. And he said, no, Dad, that was for you. But now I'm really saved, you know. and you know, daddies, don't twist their arms, man, because it won't work. God knows what he's doing. And when he does it, it's we all prayed here one day. And guess who showed up? My son. I was frightened. He was carrying a Bible in his hand. It's still in the plastic, you know. And it was the very next day. And I went, wow, you know. And I sometimes think, was it that second blessing on the Mount of, on the, you know, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, praise and glory to God for mourning that would comfort us. You know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, including those 9 ones that are in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, you know, and there's many blessings, you know, and they're for you, because who else are they going to be for? If it's a one body thing, and a one spirit thing, and a one hope of the hope of your calling thing, and one Lord, and one faith, are people replacing denomination for faith? What is faith? Who you having faith in? You know, there's a lot of people were baptized, and you had it right when you got baptized in the name of the Father. And of course, you know that the water represents the Word. And of course, as soon as you get the Word, it's supposed to sanctify you. Don't neglect or don't belittle, don't. When God speaks, it creates. It has to. Or he's not God. We're messed up pretty bad. And, you know, there's all these sayings and mantras. When God speaks, it creates. And every word read here is has to go, yes, in us, but he's in us and through us, because that's what it says on the last one. you know, one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. And plus, he says it again, you know, about the sanctuary. Don't let me talk about the sanctuary again, because, you know, it's an abiding place. It's a tabernacle that they blaspheme. And that's why we're all mixed up, I think. They've been blaspheming this sanctuary for a long time. Not just in that verse in Revelation 13. So the sanctuary is there, and he said it. You know, it's three times he said it in two verses in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, 17 and 18. You know, one at the beginning, one in the middle, and one at, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, it finishes it. He spoke it. And then he tells you, you've got these promises, let us. He's just finished told you where he is. He's in you, and he's walking with you. And I'm sure he's wanting very much so to encourage you. And he don't need any cleansing. God don't need to be clean. Jesus don't need to be clean. The Holy Spirit don't need to be clean. Let us cleanse ourselves. For it is God, you know, that the that worketh in you both. Are you plural? Are you two people? For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. I've been reading it like I do my study, and I read these certain verses. Oh, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to want to read it every day, and I think I did read it every day for a long time now. And I'm just going, well, look at here, you know, and it gets me all excited. And I suddenly realized, you know, all these unity words are the grace. And all the grace is all you can be in Christ Jesus. And it's unifying you. It's saying that you're in the Holy Spirit, in God's power, in the word of truth. It's saying here also, you know, as having ought and possessing all, as having nothing but having it all. Now, what is that, you know, like it's in the 10th verse of 2 Corinthians 6, as having nothing but possessing everything. And then he says, our mouth, I think I said this before, is opened unto you, Corinthians, our heart enlarged. And he's encouraging these Corinthians to have their heart enlarged. Now, he also encouraged the Galatians to say, I have been crucified with Christ. And you're raised up with him and made to be seated with him in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. But I don't know if I need to catch up or what, you know. The rapture, you know, when did it happen? And that you know, the English people used to say that when they would get excited. Oh, rapture, you know, it's not said so much anymore, but look what he gave us here, you know, and I want this so much to work out for me. It's like my tongue wants to come out off of the page, lick all this up so I can have it inside of me constantly. And you know, usually you get that with chocolate cake, you know, but this is much more, you know, this is better. And it's so profound. So, and you know, I said it before, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your, he's got an enlarged heart, you know, and then he's encouraging them, be ye therefore enlarged, you know. Like, were you there? No, but you're here, and this is the same word, and it's God, all scripture is God breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, for, I think it's rebuke. Go to the NENT for this one, because it's a discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, it's his works too. We're God's workmanship. It's being created now. It should be final. You know, it is finished. You can see it is finished by just reading 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy. You can see it's finished because he's saying right here, by grace, I'm going to speak to you. I'm sending, you know, you've been speaking those words in some foreign language, that the God tongue that you've been given, and now he's speaking to you plainly right here. Like even it says, speak plainly, the five words. You know, I'd rather he speak, you know, than a myriad of tongues. He's hinting, did the light come on? You know, I don't know what I'm saying here. I'm just, my hope is that this gets really down deep in you and down in there, and you know who's trying to mess you up. He's afraid. He's trying to mess you up. And you can just see all that he's done in the world, this one who messes up. And you want to see what God can do. We have an almighty God, sovereign, the only one. And you're there kind of a little bit fearful, but you're supposed to be. Didn't he say that in 7:1? You know? Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. It's almost like he's talking to a little kid here. You know, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement. I'm giving you something here. I'm giving you authority. Let us, this is an authoritative verse. You're alive now. You know? And I don't know. I don't want to bring up something that little babies, they'll talk to you. You know? Anyways, I just, really, he's exciting me when I read this, you know, and I hope he's exciting you. Every time you look at, you know, sometimes it's a dreary time when you read it. You know who's interfering there. You don't want him to interfere with this. And you got some angels there that are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And if you see one of those goofy looking spirits, of which we had testimony here, then you know, get lost. Get out. Hey, I seen you. I want to see my guy who kept his habitation, his place, and send you out of here. Because if I do it, it won't work. Because it's a spirit that the other guys, you can't kick them in the butt out of here. Because your foot would go right through his butt. So you got to have some foot who ministers for you. And I just hope he's got big feet. And does a well job. Because that's what they were supposed to do. Right, you know, yeah, I was thinking today, like, is he getting this angel that you have, is he getting this by the Holy Spirit, or is he just talking to God? How's this happening? You know, you don't have to worry about all that stuff, because he talks to who? He said he was going to talk. You know, I heard him talk to me a few times. Sometimes it was a rebuke, you know, when I was really not knowing too much. And now I look back and I was saying, why did he even ever bother with me? You know, I was like, not so smart, you know, and now I go, man, I'd like to hear from that again, you know, but he does. He does it. We just had testimony of it happening. Something was revealed to Michael, you know, and he wants to share that with us. And having not, but possessing all. Command ye me, you know that one over there in Isaiah. And in 45, or yeah, I think it's 45, Isaiah. And is he trying to dupe us? Like saying, oh, my ways are above your ways? You know, yeah, they are, because he's gonna give it to you. So praise and glory to God. I don't know, I'm talking too much.
Wow, some good stuff. Thank you, Andrew. Some good stuff. Praise God. That was good stuff. All right. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I add to some of Andrew's good teaching there? You talk about God breathed. I was just thinking about John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. In other words, that Jesus became flesh. But it also says in John chapter 6, 63, it says, my words that I've spoken are spirit and they are life. In other words, that's just Jesus confirming his word. In other words, the whole physical word became flesh when he spoke. So he's just confirming what the God-breathed word is. So your words are spirit, they give you life, but you have to believe the spirit. You have to believe 16, the word.
Whatever. 16, thank one. You. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
The words that I speak to you are spirit and our life. And that, yeah.
You're already unmuted.
You know, out of the mouth of two witnesses, or three, as it says at the end of Corinthians chapter 2, let my word be, I'm not going to even finish it for you. Because it's his word, and it'll be, if you know what it'll be. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't. I don't want to tell you what they used to call me as a kid. But brothers could be really mean. Anyway, this is now the third time that I am coming unto you at the mouth of two witnesses. And that should be including everyone who's called, or three, shall every word be established. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise. How do you cleanse yourself with that one? You know, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement, you know. That's a promise, you know. Wow. You know, and what, you know, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, neither be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. You know, that's 2 Thessalonians 2:2. And we know he talks about something there, you know, and we know that a delusion, you know, I had a dumb conversation where I used something in Jude, and I said, when is this, how long does it take, Lord, for this working of error to turn into that strong delusion there in Second Thessalonians? You don't want to know the answers to those questions. And you know, that's just, go away. You know, and, oh, glory to God. You know how the Lord glorifies us. He's going to glorify us. But he wants you to let him. You know, he has a desire for us. You know, it says that somewhere, that all be saved, you know, that all come to this finished work and he wants to do this. You know, he wants to do this. Anyone who's a father wants his child to succeed, even in the natural. And we think sometimes by sending them to university that they'll be that way, and that can corrupt them. So we have to define these words that are in this Bible with the Word of God, not from the dictionary. Because you know who uses the dictionary? The lawyers do. And it messes up a called lawyer, even. You know, and a Pharisee was a lawman, you know, and he became a spirit man, and he explained it really well to us, and it's not him who explained it, because he can't straighten us out. He didn't commend himself, and he's not sufficient of himself. So, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. That was good stuff. Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm going to pick up where Andrew left us there. And I was thinking of that, you know, with 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. And I think, you know, we're everybody is kind of tuned in with believing this is the Antichrist, and you know, and quite frankly, I haven't read this for a while, so I'm not sure the absolute context, but this is kind of what hit me as I was listening to Andrew. Because we know that the Antichrist is a spirit of Antichrist that was in the world, even opposing Jesus on his first walk. But this is talking about a revealing in the end days, or in I believe in our days, a revealing. The mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only there is one that restrains now until he be taken out of the way. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth. The breath of his mouth, the spirit coming out of his mouth, which are words. I am saying that this is not only referring to Jesus in his final return, but it is also referring to the sons of God, whom Jesus is released to live within in this latter harvesting of the children of God in this end in time, which we've all been listening to, and David has been teaching us and encouraging us and warning us as the time is drawing near. But this lawless one, of course, is a group, is a corporate lawless one that is typified in this one characteristic here. Well, who says in verse 10, it says, with all deceit, this lawless not one will be working the works of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders. And in verse 10, it says, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish. This spirit of lawlessness, which is permeating society, will infect many people if they don't have one thing within them, and that is, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That I highlighted that little section in that verse, because they received not the love of the truth. It didn't say because they received not the truth. They received not a love or a cherishment, if that's a word, I'm not sure if it is, of truth that they will. And I'm thinking of a psalm right now. I might have to kick back there, but I'm thinking of Psalm 15, which describes the love of the truth. In Psalm 15, 1 says, a psalm of David, the Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friends, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. And in verse 4, it says, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. That love for the truth is a love that accepts the truth, whether it either be positive or negative. It's the concept that even if it is negative, I've got to know, I've got to hang on the truth. I've got to be nailed down on the truth. Because even if it is negative, God is going to provide the necessary truth to overcome that negative aspect. We can only respond. We only have the ability to respond to something if we are able to identify the truth related to it. What am I trying to say? There, in 2001, when the Twin Towers were attacked, where they were taken down, there's a certain fear factor that was that impacted us as a nation and as a people. And that fear led this nation, or this nation was led by that fear into down a certain path, I'm going to say. Yet, there were some that looked, were able to look behind the appearances or behind the circumstances of that event and were able to see some facts and some truth that shed a different light as to the motivation of that, the Twin Tower attack, shall we say. And knowing the certain causes of that attack, there were shed a certain fear within people. A fear that if this attack was not really done by another group outside of America, but if it was manipulated by an entity, a group that is within our country, coming to understand that and see that tends to bring that would be a fearful thing to contemplate, because it would indicate that we in this nation, or the population of this nation, is not really in control. We don't really have as much control or influence as we thought we did. Maybe our government is not functioning the way that we have always grown up to think it was, etc. Well, that brings a fear, that's a fearful thought. But if it is true, and you adhere to that truth, And you are able to then address that threat in a realistic way in order to you instead of hiding yourself, refusing to believe it and turning our back on it and trying to live life as a normal fashion and bury our head in the sand, so to speak, and keep on moving and pretend that that didn't happen, which is basically what society has done. But if you're able to realistically grasp the truth of that, then you have the framework in order to address it properly. Only those with a love for the truth will be willing to wade through the potential fear factor to receive the truth and eventually overcome. There's a time coming in the world which Second Corinthians there, I'm sorry, Second Thessalonians, I lost my place now. Where was that? Where was I at before I so rudely interrupted myself? Second. And I believe this these verses in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 about the nation or society, because they have not received a love for truth, will be open to the deception, the worldwide deception that the world is going to swallow because of the fear factor that's involved there. Thinking of that, I believe that dream by Dmitri Dudeman, that he's talking about the, if I'm not mistaken, a black army or something that was standing before him, and then the leader who was standing, was dressed in red, and Dmitri and various other people were standing, and he said, and it was something like he was that the devil was talking to him and said, all of you who don't think you can defeat me, go to the left. And all that and think you can defeat me, go to the right, or something like this. I'm really paraphrasing this whole story because I don't remember it in exact. And the devil was standing there with his army of black hordes and with all swords. And I think these angels were 8 or 10 feet tall or something like that. The people that went to the left, the army attacked them and killed them. And the people that stood to the right were able to persevere and overcome. And they stood upon the truth of God's word, the truth that he is our refuge, and that the devil has no authority to take us out because he's not in the same jurisdiction. He's not under the we are under another king. We are in another kingdom. And the devil doesn't have the ability to take us out unless we allow it, unless we comply with him. And therefore, God is, our Father is going, is raising up sons through this whole process that will stand upon the truth because they love the truth, because they love Jesus, who is the truth. And just as David was talking about those that dove into the water, or he was telling a dream of those that dove into the water going down for that pearl of great price. And there came a point in time when those people were going down and they knew they weren't, they couldn't make it. They had a choice to turn and shoot for the top for air, for survival, or to continue on in death and obtain that pearl of great price. And they, those that did, lived through the process. And I think these verses in Second Thessalonian Thessalonians 2 and 10 and on there are talking about this this kingdom, this kingdom that God will establish in this latter day that Daniel was referring to in his interpretation of the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar, that that rock, that stone carved out of the mountains that will roll down that mountain of the world's authority and roll down and strike that beast at the feet, and that beast kingdom, which is incorporated in all of the kingdoms or empires of the world, will crumble under the weight, or it will crumble under the word of that end time rock, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. All that sounds, so I believe that this is what these verses are talking about. That even in verse 13, stand firm. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved for beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So, anyway, praise the Lord. And I think that's all I'm going to say. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. It's good stuff. Amen. I'm going to share a little song. I believe it's going to be right along with what we've been talking about mostly.
By might, not by power, by your Spirit, God, send your Spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God, send your Spirit, God. You are
are the fire, we are the temple, you are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people, you are the light, we stand in awe. We stand in awe.
You make a way where there was none. You make a way. send your spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, stir up faith. Stir up faith to believe, stir up hope tonight, stir up hope tonight. Sing it one more time. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, isn't it by the power of the Holy Spirit that we even believe and have faith, you know, that we can do anything, you know, because without that, I mean, it's God working in us, but it's by his Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Word. I think, you know, Andrew was talking about that. It's the Spirit of the Word.
Amen.
You know, that's kind of what was, yeah, well, that's kind of what was coming to me. And I was listening to that song and singing it. It's just, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have faith. We can't even believe. It's the move of his Spirit that gives us all that. Yeah, that's all I was wanting to say.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit is a mighty God. Glory be to God. Go, Andrew.
I just want to read 6 and 63 in the NENT. It is the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are Spirit and life. So what if I was to speak to you that living is the Word of God and active? For in him we live, move, and have our being. This is the Word, but it's the Spirit and life. And it's active, and it creates. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know, it's more than Greek poetry. In him we live, move, and have our being. So this is a Word of God, and he just finished telling you that it is the Spirit that maketh alive, and the words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. That's creative. And it is a source of that hearkening by grace in those other verses. Today is the day of your salvation, and today is the day that I'm going to secure you and hearken to you. And you know, now that word that I just read about him hearkening to you is also Spirit and life. Wow. You know, and if that word, if we were taught now that all of this New Testament stuff is the Spirit of the Word, and we were taught that our heart has to be circumcised, And it gets circumcised because a covenant word comes into you that God gives you. And you're now the epistle known and read of all men. But look what it's doing. It's written on hearts of flesh, by the Spirit of God. It's not engraved and it's not written with ink. It's written upon hearts. If you're an epistle, you know, all these women want to lose weight, you're going to be as thin as a paper. Epistle known and read.
Praise the Lord.
You know? Praise God, you know, I just want to be, you know, that epistle known and read. Are you not going to have fellowship with it? Communion with it? Concord? Portion? Agreement? And then it gives you a sanctuary. Now that sanctuary, just that word there, is spirit and life. And where is it? And why is it that way? Because you know what it says there. And we got to get our head around this, and we got to get our heart around it. You know, your covenant is, it's in your heart. And when, you know, when you first heard that love that God had for you, then you knew something was different. And you received it maybe as a glory of God, and you were glorified because he birthed you on that day. And you really didn't have anything to do about it anyway, as having ought, but possessing all. And it birthed you, and it's birthing fruit in you too. So I don't know how to explain it any more than these words that I've been showing here, that you have, you don't have anything, but you have it all. And when that day happened, you know, you knew you had something. And you may have not known exactly, but you knew something changed. And you went, man, is the world ever evil now? You know, I need some help here, you know. And you may have panicked a bit after, you know, the next day or something. I don't know. But whatever happened, you know. And then you may have done something kind of crazy that you started trusting in man instead of in God. You know, when you know this, no man can straighten you out. He's there to help you. And so did Paul, the last verse of Galatia chapter 1. And they glorified God in me, I think it says. It says, and they glorified God in me. Well, the glorification of God was because of what he was saying and what was happening around him. And we're one body in the sanctuary. We have to be, you know, like we triumph. He triumphed over principalities and powers and made an open show of them. Well, isn't this one body with Jesus too? Made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you know, Jesus is the forefront of this. He's the leading king. You know, the king used to go to the head of the forefront of the battle. And everyone liked to have, even in the physical, a strong king. And that's what they thought about Goliath. But David won. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. I got a little prayer here. I want to pray for everybody if it's all right with y'all. It's a Holy Spirit prayer, and I believe it'll help y'all. Spirit of the living God, I come before you with reverence and hunger, and we step away from the noise of the world, away from distractions, away from fear, to seek you alone. Holy Spirit, let us dwell in your secret place. Your word declares, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Father, we desire to dwell, not to visit, to remain there, not to pass through, to abide, and not to wander. Holy Spirit, draw us into that secret place where your voice is clear and your presence is strong. Hide us where the enemy can't find us. Cover us where fear cannot touch us. Shield us where confusion cannot enter. And Holy Spirit, let us dwell in your secret place. Your word says when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Lord, teach us to close the door to distractions and open our hearts to your presence. Teach us to value intimacy over noise, your whisper over the crowd. And Holy Spirit, separate us from everything that pulls us away from you. In the name, the mighty name of Jesus, separate us from pride, separate us from spiritual dryness, and separate us from every false comfort. Holy Spirit, let us dwell in that secret place that you have for us. Your word declares you will hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. Hide us in your presence, Lord. Hide our minds in your peace. Hide our hearts in your love. Hide our future in your will, Holy Spirit. And let the secret place become our dwelling and not our escape. In the secret place, heal us. In the secret place, renew us. In the secret place, teach us. And in the secret place, transform us. I thank you, Father, for doing all of those things. And there's a whole lot more I want to say, but Lord, I'm just going to give it to you right now. That's what we want. We want all of you and none of us. And we thank you for it, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, let you be our dwelling place from this point on. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks. God bless you.